in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line for Tuesday's show is African athletics. I think Joshua Cheptegei's new 5,000 meters world record is not just the biggest story of the past 4 days. It's probably the biggest African athletics story so far in this pandemic year of 2020. Running in Monaco, the Ugandan Cheptegei clocked 12 minutes and 35.36 seconds. In the process, Joshua lowered the previous world record set by Ethiopia's Kenenisa Bekele in 2004 by about 2 seconds. Cheptegei's sparkling world record run at the first Diamond League meet of the season is just the latest achievement for the 23-year-old Ugandan. Joshua is the reigning world 10,000 meters champion and the reigning world cross-country champion. In February, also in Monaco, Joshua set a world 5-kilometer road record of 12 minutes and 51 seconds. And Cheptegei also set a world 10-kilometer road record last year of 26 minutes and 38 seconds in Valencia, Spain. Clearly, Joshua Cheptegei has been in record-breaking form ahead of next year's Tokyo Olympics. And Joshua is hungry for more success, as we hear now from Magume Davis Rakowinge in Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings, Magume!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. On Friday, the 23-year-old Ugandan won the Monaco Diamond League with a new world record, 12.35.36.
I felt so great, of course, upon crossing the finish line, knowing that I am really the new world record holder of the 5,000 meters. Really, I'm a happy man, of course, a happy Ugandan and a happy African.
Cheptegei's new record replaced that of 12.37.35 set by Ethiopian Kenenisa Bekele in 2004 at Hengelo, Netherlands, IAAF World Challenge meeting. He says he's grateful for his pacemakers, especially his training partner, fellow Ugandan Stephen Chisa.
I was training, of course, in these difficult times of the pandemic, of course, the coronavirus. Like most of the people, have been heartbroken, and people have lost dreams and, of course, focus. But as for me, of course, I was really motivated, of course, and having hope and keeping the faith that one time the world will get back to normal, and, of course, business will always resume.
The 2018 Commonwealth Games men's 5,000 and 10,000 meters champion also won gold in the 10,000 meters category, the Doha 2019 World Athletics Championships, and kept on a winning form in various competitions across the globe.
In 2019, I won the World Cross Country, the Diamond Leaf Trophy in Zurich, and of course the World Championship in Doha. I always believe that one success, one goal, one success leads to another. Of course, it got me more hungry for more gold and for more wins and for more world records. So as an athlete, whenever I make an achievement, it becomes I celebrate it for once and for some few moments. And then, of course, I forget about it and, of course, look for new challenges in the future.
Namayo Mawerere is the spokesman for the Uganda Athletics Federation. He says amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, Cheptegei's success is a big motivation for other athletes in the country.
Certainly, Joshua Cheptegei has gone down in the world history and Ugandan records as one of the greatest athletes and sportsmen of all times. He has become an icon, a role model to the present and future Ugandan athletes. He has gone to cause a multiplier effect. Many Ugandan athletes have closely been following Cheptegei's path to glory with many attributes, which include patience, hard work, focus, big heart, willing to groom others, discipline, and strong determination to achieve his goals.
Uganda's 800 meters world champion, Halima Nakai, and Winnie Nanyondo also participated in the Diamond League that was dominated by Americans Donovan Brazier and Bryce Hopo, who finished first and second respectively. For the Sunnyside of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Haiti. That's my VOA colleague, Haiti Fitzpatrick. As I mentioned earlier, Joshua Cheptegei broke the 5,000 meters track world record of Ethiopia's three-time Olympic champion, Kenenisa Bekele. Kenenisa is now preparing for a much-anticipated head-to-head race against world record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya in the London Marathon October 4th. Because of the COVID-19 crisis, London organizers recently announced a new course for this year's elites-only race. Our longtime athletics reporter in the British capital, the energetic Andy Edwards, believes the unusual setting of the 40th edition of the London Marathon may well add to a fascinating competition.
This is going to be a London Marathon like no other, for the simple reason that instead of more than 40,000 runners following a path from Greenwich in South London to the Mall beside Buckingham Palace in the heart of the capital, the event will be split in two, comprising an elite race only in one of London's parks, St James's, while the mass runners take part in a virtual race from their homes because of coronavirus regulations. What does this mean for the elite race, now that we know that Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisa Bekele in the men's event, the two fastest marathon runners in history, and not forgetting Brigitte Kosgei, who has taken women's marathon running onto a different planet with her world record of 2 hours 14 minutes and 4 seconds, will all be on the start line. No marathon has a bigger budget to attract the stars than London, and the essence of the competition, including elite wheelchair racers, will remain the same, as the race director Hugh Brasher said when the venue was announced recently.
The gods of the sport will still be taking part in an elite race, in a government official elite sport under the COVID-19 regulations around St James's Park. Eliud Kipchoge, Kenenisa Bekele, Brigitte Kosgei, Manuela Shah, David Weir.
I believe that the setting of the race has the potential to produce tactics and psychological approach that we never come close to seeing in a marathon held in normal circumstances. Well, here's an insider's view, albeit from a runner of modest ability and achievement, that is myself. The race venue is compact, to say the least. St James's Park has a perimeter of just over a mile, or 1.7 kilometres. Think of it as the equivalent of a 1,500-metre track race being confined to one long lap. I used to run there, usually hither and thither on the cross-country section on the infield when I worked nearby in the 1980s. The asphalt path which will be used for the race has no hills to speak of, just the occasional undulation. It's also quite narrow. Six runners abreast would fill the path. This is what it will mean for the elite. Top-class men are running each marathon mile in 5 minutes 30 or sometimes better. With laps barely longer than a mile, a leader can still be in sight of their pursuers, and this will apply to the women's race as well. Unlike a long road, that could give the runners chasing the leader a psychological boost, being able to gauge their energy distribution. On the other hand, some elite runners, say men running around 2 hours 10 tempo or slightly faster, are going to be lapped if the leader or leading group are on course for a finishing time in the range of 2:02 or 2:04. Presuming that London will organise pacing groups as usual, including one for super fast times in the region of Eliud Kipchoge's world record of 2:01:39, those pacemakers, plus out-and-out racers, will represent a lot of traffic on what will be the narrow perimeter path of St James's. Just imagine, 35 laps or more of the elite field whizzing around, barely time for watching TV audience to catch their breath before they come round again. It will be more like a cycle race in a velodrome, but without the banking, and barely a dull moment. If they are near their best, I would expect Eliud Kipchoge, the world record holder, and Kenenisa Bekele, who was only 2 seconds outside that time in Berlin last September, to be contesting the men's race, but on a much tighter stage than usual. The same applies to the women's race, where Bridget Koskay, providing she is even reasonably close to her world record form, is the favourite. But that is not the whole story of a big city marathon. It's the equivalent of a fair-sized city on the move. These races have anything from 30,000 runners lining up in normal times. The London Marathon, as far as the mass field is concerned, is following the trend and going virtual, as the race director Hugh Brasher explained last week.
What we're asking is the 45,000 people that would have been making that incredible journey at 26.2 miles from Greenwich to Westminster with those other athletes, now that they make that journey in a different way, in their way, from their homes, on the 4th of October.
There are, of course, many more serious aspects to the coronavirus than sports events being cancelled. But sport is also a business, providing employment for some and entertainment for many. That applies just as much to marathons, which, once they achieve a certain size, have to be run as a business. A race director is looking at how an elite field is recruited, which means prize money, perhaps appearance fees, TV coverage and other media coverage, and other forms of publicity, all which are intended to attract sponsors. Then the mass field is important in creating public interest and participation, plus the income from those entrance fees. Big city races usually have three sources of income: entrance fees, sponsorship, and perhaps public subsidy, the latter from a regional government or city council, which recognises how much of an economic boost an influx of thousands of runners, many from abroad, bring to their town in race week. Marathon races are not achieving anything like that level of income this year. Unless a vaccine for the coronavirus is found to be workable, regulations which prevent mass gatherings set by local or national government may still be in place next year, and a big marathon is certainly a mass gathering. Now, that is a gloomy, but I believe realistic note, and here's another prospect to consider. I reckon the chances of the Tokyo Olympics taking place next year are 50-50 at best, and if they don't happen in 2021, I don't think they'll happen at all. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. Turning to African football, Senegal and Liverpool star Sadio Mane has won the English Premier League's Fans Player of the Year award for the 2019-2020 season. The 28-year-old Mane helped spark the Reds of Liverpool to their first league title in 30 years, scoring 18 goals and providing 7 assists. For reaction to Mane's fan award, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African football analyst Charles Anazoto.
You know, before Mane was N'Golo Kante and, of course, Riyad Mahrez as well. So these two individuals have laid a solid foundation that, you can achieve in the Premier League, no matter where you come from. And being an African, Sadio Mane has become a third example for those budding talents on the African continent who ply their trade everywhere around the world, especially in the Premier League. You look at Sadio Mane all through the time that he arrived at Liverpool from Southampton, he's always been a model athlete and has always been a super regular for Liverpool. So this was always going to happen for Sadio Mane. It comes as no surprise. Beating the likes of Kevin De Bruyne to the award shows of his consistency and his doggedness as well over the years that he is a player to reckon with. So this award for Sadio Mane, definitely well deserved. And we're hoping that this will not be the last of very many to come for African footballers.
Do you think the award will motivate other African players in Europe to go for more glory?
I mean, if any young African player there takes Mane as a role model, of course this would help. This would foster belief in your ability. But then it's dependent on if you really do have the ability and the skill. If you have all of these things, you're always going to thrive. There are very, very many Africans out there who have the necessary ability to succeed in Europe. A lot of them need some measure of luck, and when you do have that kind of luck, with the best of facilities that are available and the best of coaching as well, there's a very, very talented. What we're just lacking is that organization, you know, that guile and that leadership qualities. All of these things are put in place. Wherever they go, they're always going to succeed. So if you do have Mane as your role model, yes, it is a pointer to what you can achieve and a source of motivation.
Do you also think that Africa has potentials to produce more of Sadio Mane's, Mohamed Salah's, and Aubameyang?
Africa has everything that it takes. I mean, it's been showing down the years. There's no club side in the European circuit that doesn't have an African in their stable. And these Africans are commanding regular shirts, not just in the Premier League, in La Liga, in Serie A, in Germany. And the names are everywhere. You know, Pelé once predicted that an African nation would win the World Cup by 2010. That hasn't happened yet. But with his prediction tells you of the kind of talent that Africa has as a continent. And the honest truth, the future of the round leather game lies within the confines of the African continent. Because, I mean, African players have everything it takes. They've got speed, athleticism, intelligence on the ball. Like I said earlier, all they need is just a measure of manageability and, of course, organization, you know, especially for African nations going into major competitions. And Africa will rule the world. We've got everything it takes. Strength inclusive as well. And those are hallmarks of a great player.
That's Charles Anizoto, an African football analyst. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Charles Anizoto, an African football analyst. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please, I urge you to continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The National Basketball Association playoffs tipped off Monday with four games in the quarantine bubble of Orlando, Florida. The Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Clippers, Boston Celtics, and the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors all posted victories. The Raptors soared over the New Jersey Nets, as we hear now from the AP's John Lethierby.
The Raptors set a few new team records in their 134-110 victory over the Nets. The point total was a new franchise record in postseason. Their 22 threes, also a new high watermark. And Fred VanVleet was the one leading the way for Toronto, finishing with a double-double. 30 points and 11 assists, going 11 of 15 from the field and 8 of 10 from three-point range. VanVleet's coach, Nick Nurse.
Made the right plays. Either throw aheads in transition or playing the screen and roll. He get into the paint and find the kick out. So, you know, he was obviously, state the obvious there, he was awesome tonight.
Timothy Luwahu-Cabarro led the Nets in scoring. He had 26 points. John Leatherby.
Thanks, John. Our VOA basketball fans will remember all the series in the NBA playoffs are best of seven games. So the first team to win four games advances to the next round. The Boston Celtics won their opening game against the Philadelphia 76ers by 8 points. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined for 61 points to push the Celtics past the 76ers 109-101 in Game 1 of their East first-round series at the Orlando Bubble. Tatum got the Celtics going with a 21-point first half and finished with 32 and 13 rebounds. Brown finished off the Sixers with 15 fourth-quarter points and 29 total.
Today we came out, we battled with a more physical team, and we came out on top, so I was proud of us. We got to keep that fight up if we want to. We want to win this series.
Joel Embiid had 26 points and 16 rebounds to carry the Sixers, with fellow All-Star Ben Simmons out for the playoffs following knee surgery. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. In another NBA playoff result, the Denver Nuggets defeated the Utah Jazz 135-125 in overtime. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Donovan Mitchell shattered the Jazz playoff record for points in a game, but his 57-point performance wasn't enough for Utah to avoid a loss to the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray led the victory by scoring 20 of his 36 points in the fourth quarter in overtime, leading the Nuggets to a 135-125 win against Utah.
I just got to pick my spots, as soon as I hit one in the fourth, Joker's telling me to be aggressive, coach telling me to be aggressive, and that's what I did, so I'm just able to get the win and get out here and get ready for game two.
Mitchell was 19 of 33 from the floor and 13 of 13 from the free throw line. Mitchell's scoring spree surpassed the Jazz mark of 50 points by Karl Malone against Seattle in April 2000. I'm Dave Ferry.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigers Nigerian women's national team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And in one more NBA playoff result Monday, the Los Angeles Clippers beat the Dallas Mavericks 118-110 in Orlando, Florida. Kawhi Leonard led the Clippers with 29 points and 12 rebounds. The young Slovenian star for the Mavericks, Luka Doncic, had a big game, finishing with 42 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds. The Clippers got a big boost after the Latvian center for Dallas, Kristaps Porzingis, was ejected in the third quarter after committing his second technical foul. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to women's basketball star Liz Cambage, who is celebrating her 29th birthday on this Tuesday. Liz was born in London to a Nigerian father and an Australian mother. She competes for Australia in international competition. At the club level, Liz has played all over the world, including most recently for the Las Vegas Aces in the Women's National Basketball Association. But birthday girl Liz Cambage is now set to return to the Australian Women's League after signing with the Southside Flyers team. Liz Cambage missed the WNBA season for the Las Vegas Aces after being medically excused. Doctors said she was at a high risk of getting severely ill if she contracts the coronavirus. Happy 29th birthday to Australian basketball star Liz Cambage. And that wraps up the August 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this
music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.